It is really good to be able to come in and just worship today. I think we could kind of all pack that up and just have it in our car every morning. It would start our days a lot better. That would be nice. So we'll start working on that as a church project. I don't know exactly how we're going to do that, but we'll try to figure it out. We are going to be observing communion today. Observing communion is a way that Jesus tells us to just do one simple thing, which is remember Him, which is to take these two things that He gave as illustrations of His body and His blood that were sacrificed for us, and to in this way take them into us, because as Jesus taught Himself, He actually taught in John chapter 6, you can read, he actually said, unless you really take physically me in, unless you really take me in, then you don't really know me. You don't really know the Father. So communion is an awesome way to worship. But today, as we're going to talk about it, it's just a really special time for us to remember and to make, hopefully, what we call a personal relationship with Jesus very personal. We use that phrase a lot, that it's a personal relationship with Him. But sometimes we don't, unless I'm just the only one in the room, sometimes it lacks that personal feel sometimes. And sometimes just stopping to really remember Jesus and what He's done in our lives is a great way to go into communion. I was not going to come on this platform until Dale started praying. I'm just going to be honest with you. That I really enjoyed worship. It was just great. As we sing, I exalt Thee. There's a lot of things I brag on. And I think, honestly, that was just the Spirit of God convicting Brandon Apple of talking about Duke earlier. I just feel like God gave me that right at that moment, that was really just His sin, just evident in front of us. So God, I exalt You. He likes some devils that are bluish colored. So that's okay. Whatever gets you to speak in church, it's fine. It'll get personal when we start talking about basketball. Like, we can talk about Jesus, and everybody's like, all right, I got to behave. We talk about basketball in church, and it's like, oh, we're going to misbehave. A couple things that were mentioned. Discipleship classes are going to be today. It'll be from 5 to 6. Wednesday, we didn't get started right on time because we're trying to work out the kid and the youth drop-off. It was funny because Dale told me on Wednesday, he said, I've never seen that many parents not walk in the doors. Some of y'all avoided me on Wednesday because you felt convicted you didn't come to discipleship class. Vic's laughing because he was there. He gets to laugh. But we do have these classes. The goal of these classes is to allow us to come in, to connect with each other, and then to start off into other groups or keep meeting at that time. A lot of different things. The thing is, like I've said before, we're not going to grow enough spiritually on Sunday morning in the time just that we have here. There's so many things that are personal to us in our lives and what we're going through that as we meet with groups, that gives us a chance for God to work in those areas and for us to study deeper in His Word on those topics. Many of us in here have been in groups before, but we aren't now. I've been in groups before. Since I've come to the church, this discipleship grouping is my re-entry personally back into it too. So if you think, well, I just don't know how I feel about going in, well, just jump in the water with me, right? Just come check it out. We're doing Wednesday and Sunday right now for a little while. Will be the same thing. So whatever we talked about last Wednesday will also be talked about this coming Sunday as well. Next Sunday when we have this our church meeting, and this really is a church meeting. If you attend here regularly, you feel like you're involved and plugged into the church, if you're not a member yet, I would encourage you to come to that meeting because we're going to ask the church to pray about some things that we're deciding on and some stuff. So please be in here for that. That'll go from 6 to no later than 7 o'clock. So we'll do that. We're going to be in Luke chapter 22 this morning. We are going to be talking about as Jesus issued this thing called communion, what we call communion, the Lord's Supper, as it's kind of termed some different things. We're going to be in this passage this morning. And let's just pray again before we jump into this and really ask for this morning, for this to be personal to us, for God to really speak and this to mean something to each one of us individually. God, thank You so much for the moments that we have. Lord, help us to hear from You. God, help us, God, to push everything out, but just really right now as individuals, not even just corporately, but as individuals, remembering the sacrifice of Jesus, the relationship that we've been given through him and what he did for us. God, help us in all the many times in our lives where, God, you've rescued us and you've forgiven us and you've given us courage and hope. God, all the gifts that you've given us, the things that you've kept us from, the sin that you've kept us from, not just what you've forgiven us from. Lord, thank you so much for just being God. Thank you that Jesus Christ can be Lord of our lives. And God, I pray that as we worship and feel connected together into you, that right now we really, God, just feel like, God, it's, Lord, it's me and you. And I pray that is the feeling that we all leave with today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to jump into reading this passage again in Luke 22. I'm going to start in verse 7. The verses will be on the screens as we go over this, as well as a few points. I'm going to be honest with you. There's going to be kind of a pace that I'm going to keep as I go through this. I've made a few notes in here, but in today's message, I really want we want to kind of pause at some moments for all of us to kind of put into the message ourselves of what God has done in our life. I don't want to just preach a straight through message and throw a bunch of notes and quotes out, but I really want us to kind of pause at moments. If it means some things being shorter, I really want us to spend some time making this personal as we observe communion this morning. Okay, is that cool? We'll stay on that. And I promise some notes I'll just kind of blow through, and I don't mean to just talk fast, but I want us to kind of have some time to also reflect through this as well. Verse 7 says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover.' 'Where do you want us to prepare for it?' they asked. He replied, 'As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is the room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there.' They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" It's interesting that, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about the anguish that Jesus went through the week before Easter. We talked about the anguish of just the prayer and physically as he was sweating, that it was tinted with his blood and how that happens physically. All that he dreaded, at this moment he says, "This is something I wanted to do. I wanted to experience this with you." How does Jesus view us taking the Lord's Supper, or communion, or whatever you want to call it? How does he view that? Jesus has anticipated this morning as we do this with him because of what it signifies. It says, "I eagerly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us through this passage, to do this in remembrance of him. To remember Jesus and doing this. Now, memory and remembering is kind of an interesting thing that we deal with in life. I wrote this down. I think kind of like for me, this is kind of where I land when on this idea of this word remember. I can't remember what I want to remember, but then I can't forget what I don't want to remember. Does that make sense? There's so many times that I sit there and I'm trying to remember. I really want to truly remember something. Like a month or so ago, I remember me and Wendy were having this conversation because we had found like an old iPhone, one of the first iPhones we had, and it was kind of, you know, stuck in wherever the graveyard of phones go in your house because we don't really know what to do with them. Everybody says recycle them, but I don't really know where. I've never seen the recycling truck come by from old phones, so I just cram them in sock drawers, right? And we pulled it out and charged it, and we saw all these videos and stuff, all these pictures on there. And we just, like, I got addicted to just watching it over and over because it was of stuff that I just had forgotten. Like, and I looked at that, and I remember thinking, like, I want to remember this stuff, but I can't. I can't just recall that to memory. But so many times, the things that I don't want stuck in my brain is just there, right? From everything, from some, we were doing some service stuff yesterday, and I don't even remember what the song. What was the song that you kept singing? Like, okay, me and Dale, we were in the kitchen together, and you kept singing like a couple lines of it when we were moving yesterday. What was that? You don't even remember. Well, that song got stuck in my head for like 4 hours. You know, and it's that kind of stuff that's, I'm sorry, I'm not angry with you, but it's just like it wouldn't go, and you didn't sing enough of it for me to know all the lyrics. I just knew what you sang, and it was like, I wanted to pull parts of my brain out, right? There's so much, the what? No, you sing that at the office. That's like during the week. It was Saturday, so it was like a hymn. He was approaching Jesus as we moved on for the week. But it's like, we really can't, and honestly, and some stuff that rolls through my mind is sinful, like some stuff that I've experienced in my lifetime or I've seen. And that stuff at times kind of hits your brain. You're like, man, I don't want that. Good and bad. I want the good. I don't want the bad. And we struggle with that. It's funny, too, sometimes just how we connect with people, right? This morning, I think today, celebrating his 21st birthday, is Michael. He's back. Hey, Michael, how you doing? Happy birthday, my friend. I've known Michael since he was really young. And sometimes, like, I know that I'm sure there's been a lot of serious moments between me and him. But every time I see him, I still think back. There was this one time, it may have been my first missions trip that I ever led as a youth pastor, one of my first ones. And Michael was on that missions trip, and this is just engraved and burned into my memory. I had a broken ankle because I was getting older than what I realized at the time, and I broke it on the missions trip, and we were goofing around. And, you know, late at night, it was limited in what you could do. The camp, you know, the place that we were staying, you know, we had to kind of get inside and kind of be inside at certain hours. So when you're with a bunch of high school guys, you're trying to kind of figure out, like, what do we do right now? We had an Oreos and a water balloon launcher. That's what we had. And so we're doing what guys do with a situation like that. We start shooting it at each other. And I've never hunted one day in my life. Some of y'all are really into waking up early and being cold and getting out in the woods. Bless you. It's not me. It's not what God's called me to do. Like, I hunt bargains. That's a little bit more my thing, right? This shirt was a bargain, except this morning I realized I out-chubbied my tie, so that's why it's unbuttoned. If that bugs you, I'm sorry. Bugs me, I've got like a gobbler now, so to each his own. But we're in this room, And so something happened, and I don't really know who started it, but basically somebody aimed one of the Oreos at Michael's rear end, all right? And they missed. And then I said, like every good youth pastor, I can hit it. Because I can't shoot a gun, but I have uncanny aim with a water balloon launcher. So we kind of had this long alleyway, and I pulled back, and in this moment of like just youth ministry beauty, and you can't do this like with adults. Men's breakfast yesterday, nobody got shot, nowhere. Shot him. I mean, it was, and it was just, and it, I would call it an impossible shot only because I did it. Just planted it right there. Had a circle for the rest of the week, where we could almost make out the Oreo marks. True story, right? Yes, yeah. That's actually honestly true. I remember stuff like that, right? And experiences, a lot of times, things that go on the way God's created us, that we catalog these memories. Sometimes it just seems so clear, so sharp. Memories are best found, though, I think, really in the details. Even in this story, it talks about how Jesus told him, he said, you know, go to prepare this Passover meal. This meal that they were getting ready to eat was a custom. It wasn't a unique thing. It happened every year, and this is something that they were going to celebrate together. This was a religious thing, a festival, a time that they were going to have this meal. And Jesus basically just told them, he said, go prepare this meal. They didn't have any resources. They didn't have the place. They didn't have any of that. And just in the details of the story, God had already orchestrated all that. Somebody had not reserved some large room. It was already set up with tables. It was sitting there waiting for them to have this meal. You know, it's those kind of details in life. It's when we see something that we wonder if it was a sign or it wasn't a sign, and we just realize that this is just God doing something in our lives. Just as a sidebar, I don't know if you're like me. A lot of times I've wasted times in my life just looking for a sign. When finally I got to the point in my life and realized, you know what, if it matches God's word, why don't I just assume that this is God working? Me and Chad had to have a conversation yesterday, and he shared a couple things with me that he really feels like God has done and kind of arranged in his life. And he said, just I can only assume that it's God. You know, and it's these details that if we can remember these things, and we call to remember these things, and we focus on them, then we get this joy in our hearts and our spirit. The leavened bread, the unleavened bread that was there, this is a Passover tradition that goes back to when God rescued the people of Israel out of Egypt as slaves. Basically, what happened was he moved them so quickly. When God was ready to move them, he moved them out so fast that they didn't have time even for the bread to rise. And they celebrated that rescue with this unleavened bread every year. They wouldn't put the leavening agent, the yeast, and the things that would go in the bread that would make it rise. And God, even through Scripture, continues to use as an example of that leaven being like sin in our lives. Is once it gets in, it just infiltrates everything in us. And this Passover celebration was just a celebration of rescue, a celebration of the absence of sin and hypocrisy and disobedience. You know, one of the things that I think that we've got to remember just with Jesus is just this idea of rescue that God wants us to remember on a regular basis, especially in moments like this. I want to look at this first thing with you this morning. We're going to kind of move through these. Number one, it says this, and this will be on the screen. You cannot remember what you never knew. Now, sometimes you may be really trying to kind of pull things out of your brain and just trying to reach back in and figure out what was that, what was the phone number, what was their address, what was whatever that, what, you know, trying to reach back and go, who was that person? You ever meet somebody like that, you see them, and you're like, I know this person, right? I know them from somewhere, I cannot figure it out. And then the worst thing in the world happens. They recognize you and they remember you, right? This happens to me all the time. I have the worst memory. I have trouble remembering names, remembering where I knew people from. And somebody will go through like this whole story. Hey, you remember when? Did it? And I'm like, was I there? Like, do you just remember? Because I just have the most generic look of anybody on earth. Like, I look like three other people you know. You probably confuse, you probably, during the week, you're like, hey, is that the preacher? No, that's just some other guy that looks like every guy, right? So I don't really know if I was there or not. But I know for me, I cannot remember what I never knew. Communion and worshiping Jesus Christ, to take this bread and this cup that represent the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, without a personal relationship with Jesus, without knowing that I'm saved because I accepted the payment that Jesus made for my sin, because I could not pay for my sin and retain my life. But because Jesus Christ died for my sin, and I believe completely in Him, and He's Lord of my life, then I'm what the Bible calls saved. That means redeemed, sin forgiven, bought with that price, and I know that I'm saved. I know that I have a future in heaven. I know that I have the Holy Spirit in me right now. So when I remember that, then I have something to celebrate and something to worship when I identify personally with Jesus. Because yes, I can preach that Jesus died for you, but I have to accept and believe that Jesus died for me. It can be true for you, or you could choose not to believe it, but personally, I have to bring that down, not to a congregational level, but to a very personal level, if we're truly going to worship. Remembering the experiences that I've had with Jesus. Not just my salvation, but every good thing He's ever brought into my life. And I'm not talking about, hey, I got a great family. I do. But I'm talking about the things like, remember the times that I was just scared. That through prayer, of whatever the situation was, God spoke to me in my heart. And through that peace, I can remember that feeling of peace. And go, Jesus, that was personal for me. Now, I can tell you stories after story after story of stuff I've been through. That's not what I'm here to talk to you about this morning. I want you to remember what you know. If you know that you're saved, then you have something to pull to mind this morning of when you remember first really, truly, fully believing in Jesus and understanding that that was for you, that memory this morning is something we can stop in and just kind of close our eyes. Do that with me for just a second. Just where you're at, just close your eyes for a second. And I want you to just think about this. We can't remember what we never knew. If you know that there was a moment where you gave your life to Jesus Christ, I just want you to focus on that for a second. I want you to focus on the memory and the thought of what life couldn't ever become alone, but then all of a sudden you figured out what it could become because of Jesus. I want you to think for a second about beginning that relationship with Jesus, and not about what am I going to have to go do now, but just that initial feeling of acceptance and forgiveness. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Remember me when you do this. That was Jesus. That feeling of just total forgiveness, no matter what it was, total forgiveness. That was Jesus. Because that was Jesus that paid for whatever that sin was. That feeling of acceptance and belonging to God, that was Jesus, because Jesus made the way for that. Can you remember that feeling? I want to continue on to the next thing, if you'll look up. Number two, when we think of the idea of remember, we have to acknowledge we are prone to forget. We are absolutely prone to forget. And one of the hymns that I remember singing growing up said, you know, Lord, I'm prone to wander. I feel it. I know this about myself. You know, back in Joshua in the Old Testament, after a season of wandering, after the children of Israel came out of the wilderness and God began to move them, He moved them across the Jordan River. When they got to the other side, God said, look, I want you to set up stones. He basically did the same thing that He did in the Red Sea, where He just parted the water. Why does God part water? Because He made it. Same reason why Jesus walked on it. I wish I had made water, because I wouldn't have been scared of the deep water for so long. Right? I could have just moved it or just walked on top of it. Lighten up, okay? When they got to the other side, God said, look, Joshua, I want you to set these stones up in the middle of the Jordan. And then I want you to set some up on the side of the Jordan. So when you travel back by this place later in life, that your kids and your grandkids and people will go, hey, why are these stones so stacked up in this really neat order? And it'll call to memory not those stones, but the stones you set up in the middle of the Jordan, because really the stones on the outside just were really a point to what God did in the middle of it. You know, one of the scariest things I think for me is when I think through it, you realize we're only ever a generation or two to where if we just stop remembering Jesus and telling our kids and the people that we love around us, our friends, telling them about what God's done in our life and who Jesus is to us, we are so close to just that being silent. You know, and sometimes we just have to be reminded God is calling us to remember. Because I've got three sons that they need to hear what God's done in my life. So that when they see me, they go, you know what? God does work. Jesus is real. You know, He calls us to remember. The Passover was to really remind them of one very simple concept, and I already said this, rescue. Rescue, the feeling of rescue. Rescue is the saving of life from the hands of something that seeks to hurt or kill it. You can be rescued from a lot of stuff. Last night, at 37 degrees outside in the cold, I was praying to God to be rescued from softball, right? Softball last night was not of God. I ran for so many people last night. I was what we call a substitute. I was not supposed to play. You hear me? A substitute is on the right side of the list of players. My name was the only one on the right side. I'm supposed to stay on the lonely right side, and I kept going over to the left side because hamstrings and ankles and feet. And this umpire, who never really talked to me, I just said, hey, you know, has it got to be a substitute or can it be the last out? He just goes this. Ugh. Dude pointed at me one time, I was going to snap that finger off in the cold, I'll be honest with you. You know, Dale's leading us and I exalt thee. And trust me, our whole team was going home looking at their knees and go, I ice thee. I mean, I wanted to be delivered from that. I wanted to be rescued from that. But and as much as we joke about the things we want to get away from and the things that we just try to find ways to not do, on the weekends, what can we avoid doing as far as housework? Look, just honestly, really and truly, the things that Jesus Christ has rescued me from in my life, I don't even know that I'll fully know on this side of heaven. I have no idea. Because I know that He's rescued me from things. He's stopped things, I have to assume, because of how He works. And I read about Him in the Bible. He has stopped me from sins and from situations. He's prevented me from going there. He's rescued me from what will always probably be the unknown to me. So in not knowing that, I look at the known of what I know he's rescued me from, the worry, the fear, the all that stuff, and I go, if I remember rescue like he wanted them to remember rescue here in the Passover, then here's what happens. Jesus told them, he says, look, from now on, when you observe this, you remember me, you remember my rescue that I'm getting ready to put out there. See, they were remembering a rescue that was so far in their nation's past that it probably didn't seem personal any longer. But when Jesus said, you remember what is now going to become my rescue, don't forget what you were rescued from. Don't forget it. See, some of us in the room, we've been rescued from addictions. Some of us have been rescued from relationship ruin. Some of us have been rescued from guilt that was going to keep us trapped the rest of our life. Some of us have been rescued, and God has used the person that's sitting very close to you to rescue some things out of you. Because we get so broken, we get so messed up. And then God uses someone in our lives to help with that. And we forget that we really just are rescued people. The things that Satan wants to bring in our lives want to just hurt or kill us. He wants to tear things down. Jesus is a rescuer. He is. There's so many things that we could just get depressed about. At least once every couple weeks, a friend of mine who's in ministry over in Burlington, he sends me this text, and it basically says this. He said, there's millions of people all across the world that can't go to church this morning, and you get paid to be there, so you better not waste your time. Right? Because Jesus has rescued me, not rescued me from one place or one job or one career to another, but he's just rescued me as just a sinner that messes up. And he says, I'm going to give you salvation. And when you go towards other stuff, I'm going to rescue you from that sin. I'm going to pull you back out of it. I'm going to rescue your relationship on a daily basis. I'm going to rescue your kids because you'd screw them up so bad if I just left you to it. He's a rescuer. We have to remember that. The third thing is this. While old memories may not go away, there is undeniable power in new ones. Right? I heard it put this way, and Vic picks on me because I put all my notes in my notebook every week. And he looked at me the other week when I brought it in. It wasn't this one, it was another one. It was a pretty worn-out Bible that I've got. I use it on Wednesday night. He said, you do own a Bible. I do. I've got a few of them. But I heard it put like this one time. In a message I heard in a church that I was visiting, the pastor that I knew said this. He said, whether you have a Bible on your phone or a copy of it like this, he would always laugh. He was an older guy. He'd make fun of me for using my Bible on my phone. He said, what are you going to do if the battery dies? He says, my pages don't have batteries. That's a good point. But he said this. He said, I want you to think about what amount of money would you accept to walk away from the Bible? He said, for $100,000, he said, would you be willing to lay every Bible that you've got aside and not be able to read it ever again? So if you ever have a question, you have a problem, somebody in your life has a question or problem, you got no access to it. Would you do it for $100,000? He said, for $500,000. And he said in different arenas that he's been in, he said, I've asked this question of a lot of people. He said, I've never had anybody at $500,000 say that they would, if they were a Christian, that they would willingly say, you know what, I'll take my chances. I'll take the cash out. I'll never remember another Bible verse. I'll never be able to have access to God's Word. It won't be able to be shared with me. I'll live completely independent from it. He said, most Christians, he said, whether through embarrassment or whatever, he said, are unwilling to take $500,000 for any way to have access to God's Word. Which means this, if we would agree to that statement, that means we have a $500,000 access available to us every day that we really don't use that much. If that's worth $500,000 to me to not walk away from, just in case it's right and I may need it, then I should be finding new experiences in this on a regular basis. Because the things, and all joking aside, that really seriously, the things that I wish that I could forget, God can use His Word and experiences in my life to give me new memories to overcome those things. Here's a few examples. Peter denied Jesus three times, and after Jesus arose, what did he say? He said, I'm risen, and I want you to specifically go tell Peter. He said, I want to start rebuilding. I want to get rid of these bad memories. Jesus dealt with Peter one-on-one multiple times after his resurrection to start establishing new memories. Get rid of the failure. Get rid of the guilt. Let's start becoming something new. Zacchaeus and Matthew both just made a lifelong habit of cheating people until they met Jesus. And then he turned them into givers. New memories of generosity to replace the old guilt and label of being a taker. Abraham and David, both pretty notable, popular guys through the Bible that we reach in for positive examples, absolutely blew and destroyed relationships in their life. Completely just obliterated marriages and confidence in relationships and trust, just completely torched it. God still used both of them in an amazing way. Rahab sold her body to men on a regular basis to where she was listed clearly as a prostitute. But then she was mentioned by God in Hebrews, remarking on her great faith. The new life that she gave when she decided to follow God began to be her new identity. So many times old memories push us to what our identity has been. Paul, who was the leader of so many Christians, as Saul, before he changed who he was, before he was saved, killed the very Christians he wrote letters to support and encourage and guide and instruct. Moses was the same way as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know, we live in a generation of people right now, and I see in the room, I see teachers that I know and are at schools every day. Dale works with teenagers. I've worked in youth ministries. A lot of times we don't realize what is going on. You realize we are having a major generation right now, young and old, that want to fall into this victimization of self-hurt, cutting. When the Bible tells us, what do we do to overcome that? One of the greatest verses that I've ever heard in counseling over something like that. Isaiah 53:5. You want a new memory? He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. You know, I've got a cousin who still, I may have mentioned her, she still shows a lot of the scars and probably always will. And I read something she wrote one time, and she said, I finally realized he was hurt enough, so I don't need to be anymore. When it comes to our memory and remembering, there is unbelievable and undeniable power in what God wants us to remember and what He wants to allow us to begin to forget and let fade. Most of us, if we were honest, we fall so victim to the things that we can't forget that we won't allow ourselves to have new experiences and allow ourselves to be loved by God in the way He wants us to feel loved. We let those things compromise just remembering Jesus and who He says we are. Will you bow your heads again for another minute? Just for a moment, we're getting ready to pass out this bread and these cups. But before we do that, you know, this thing about rescue. You know, maybe you're one of these people who just by nature, you're strong, you've got it together, you feel like everything's just under control. I'm not that person. And for just a moment, let's just concentrate and remember this thing of rescue. When we needed something, and Jesus, because He is our Savior and His Spirit is in us, that God has placed there, that they rescued us from guilt, from frustration, from anger, rescued us from something that was getting ready to be ruined or hurt to the point that it was going to be scarred. There was absolute rescue. Maybe it was from something that we did, guilt over a sin. Maybe it was because of someone, the way they hurt us. But God, through Jesus Christ, rescued us from the bondage of those things to put us somewhere so different. I want you to think about right now because all of us have it. What is the one thing, maybe a couple of things, if you could just erase them from the slate and the chalkboard of your life, the timeline of your life, you could just take it off of there. What would that be? What would it be? It's something for all of us. Something we said, something we did. Maybe it was something we said or did a million times. Maybe it's one experience, abuse, rape, neglect, abortion, an addiction, pornography, drugs, alcohol, one argument, one statement, maybe three words. Maybe it was just, I hate you, to somebody that you love so much. Those are the things that God doesn't want us to get trapped into remembering. He wants us to remember the love that He expresses to us. He wants to remember the chances that we have to forgive ourselves because we've been forgiven and how we can forgive others. He wants us to remember that what He did for us initiated what He called a new covenant, a new promise to live under, new set of rules, new set of everything, because Jesus Christ is Lord of all. See, for them, covenant was basically the whole framework that they understood that they lived under. And Jesus said, I want you to remember this. You've got a new framework to live under. For some of us, that's a scary thing because of who we feel like or who we've been for years and years and years of our life. We're scared to death of what we may have to change to truly live for Jesus. He wants us to simply remember one thing, that He is worth it. Salvation gives us new life full of everything we need here, but it gives us an eternity in heaven to celebrate with Jesus Christ in heaven, worshiping Him as we sang this morning, holy, holy, holy. You know, in the Bible, in their language, they didn't say that something was better or something was best. If it was the greatest, if it was beyond compare, they would simply say it three times in their culture. That's why, as it's inspired and written, we will sing, holy, holy, holy. Do you remember that God has called you and me holy and righteous and pure, not because of what we could do, but because of what Jesus did for us? Do you remember being called pure and holy and righteous? Because some of us can't remember that on a daily basis. Does that flood your memory right now? Because God wants it to. If the guys are going to come up, if you guys could come up front, they're going to help me pass this out. If you would, look this way. As we do communion, and I'll be honest with you, I am not a, you probably figured this out, I'm not a textbook, kind of by the book type guy at all. We're going to do things in this church differently sometimes than we do at other times. All I can promise you is this is how we're doing communion today, right? So congratulations. We're going to pass this stuff out. We're going to pass the unleavened wafers out. We're going to pass the cups of juice out. And as we pass this stuff out, we're going to pass both out at the same time. And as we do that, Dale's going to play just something as an acoustic melody as we do this. And after I realize that everybody's done, if you'll focus your attention back up this way, I would ask you to do this in these moments. As God inspired Paul to write, there is a warning in Scripture that as we take communion, that we are saying, we are identifying with Jesus, we are taking that into us. And Jesus and His sacrifice doesn't want to live in a place of sin. So in these moments, if there's something that you want to confess to God, if you know, say, you know what, I've never made a decision to really truly follow Jesus, but I know that's what I'm supposed to do, and I want to take communion with a pure heart, following Jesus, saved, then you can pray that prayer and ask for forgiveness and ask to be saved right now, and God says He'll do it. But if you will, we're going to begin passing this out this time as Dale plays.